This podcast is part of the Shareable Podcast Network. Learn more at shareable.fm. This is Rogue. I'm your host, Jeff Gibbard. Welcome back to Rogue. My name is Jeff Gibbard. I'm your host, and today with me, I have Lawrence Harris. Lawrence, welcome to Rogue. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you. I look forward to being here and helping people.
Good, good, good. So today, here's what we're going to do. So the first thing I want to know is, what's your superpower? So we're going to start there. And then I'm going to kind of explain the premise of what we're going to do here for anyone who's joining us for the first time. And since it's your first time here, I'll kind of go through it.
Perfect. Well, my superpower is changing how you believe so you can change your life.
I love it. It sounds simple on the face, but I'm sure it's a lot more complex than that. So what we're going to do on this show is based on the X-Men character named Rogue. Her ability is that she is able to steal other mutants and other superpowered individuals' superpowers through touch. And so what I do is I steal people's superpowers through conversation. So what I'm going to do in this conversation together is I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. I'm going to pick apart your experience, how you came to understand this, all sorts of different things. And what we're going to try and do by the end of it is break it into something of a framework, something of a recipe that other people can then use to steal the ability for themselves. So are you ready for us to do that?
Yep.
All right, excellent. So the first step in the process is we have to kind of, we have to look at this holistically. We got to look at superpowers from 360 degree angle. So being able to tap into the power of belief and habits to change your world, obviously, that sounds on the surface like something that could go in a very positive direction. But I need, as all superpowers have kind of two sides to them, they can be used for good or evil. And so I'm curious, if you look at this critically from kind of both angles, if someone were to learn the ability that we're about to talk about today, what are some of the potential pitfalls, places where it could either backfire on them or where it could be used for, I guess, less than, I guess nefarious kind of purposes, for lack of a better way of saying it?
Well, the main ways it can backfire on an individual is if you, well, firstly, we need to clarify what in the world is a belief. Mm-hmm. Put simply, it's a statement that you believe is true about reality in some way. So a lot of people believe that they can't make money because they grew up in an environment where there wasn't much and things were really difficult. So whatever you believe, you start to have thoughts based on that thing and you act based on what's true. So your belief of it's hard to make money becomes true for you because it's what you see as true. Mm-hmm. Someone might have to replay it a few times to really get it. But mm-hmm. Put simply, whatever you believe is true, you will start acting out and make it true in your life. So if you believe something that's holding you back and you don't change it, it's going to keep you stuck. Now, the way that this backfires and could be used for very nefarious purposes is, have you ever heard of Jim Jones?
Yes. Oh, it was at Heaven's Gate, was it? What was the name of Jim Jones, wasn't it the cult?
Yeah, the guy who made up from drink Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
He basically, you were out to teach to brainwash people into believing that he was going to get them into paradise, and they all flee to the jungles of Guyana and drink poison Kool-Aid, knowing it was poison Kool-Aid.
Got it. So there's a couple different things at play here. I'm hearing. So like one, there's sort of like belief is the mental frame that you play within.
Yeah.
And there's the framing of how that belief shapes how you behave. There's also, if you were to impose a frame on others that they then accept, if you understand how to manipulate other people's frame of belief, you can manipulate them into ways that are less than ideal, I guess we could say. So, okay. So that's one way of kind of framing the potential negative impact of this. I want to touch on habits in a second, but also I'd imagine, so when you defined belief, we're talking about what you think about reality and what you are convinced of about reality, right? Yeah. And so a lot of that could be in the frame of what you think is possible for yourself, but it also could be judgments or beliefs you make about other people. Because you can have beliefs about other people or other groups, and that could also be potentially harmful to your ability to move through life peacefully or to connect with other people or to limit other people's options. Can you talk to me a little bit more about kind of taking belief, expanding the frame of it from, in addition to what we think about ourselves and what's possible, to what we think about the world and what's possible for others and how that might shape things?
So I'm sure we've all heard someone say the phrase of, when it comes to relationships, oh, there's no good men or good women.
Mm-hmm.
When you believe that, somehow, some way, you're going to start proving yourself right. Mm-hmm. And then you will find examples of people who cheat on their partners. You'll say, look, I know I was right. And now you keep yourself in this loop of bad relationships because you believe that. Now, it's not something you believe about yourself. You believe that everyone else is a problem. So somehow you start finding the people who are. When it comes to money, which is another thing a lot of people want to do, if you believe that it's hard for me to make money, which is something you believe about yourself, or there's no jobs that are hiring, or entrepreneurship is very difficult, or anything like that, you unknowingly will make it harder for yourself. And when we transform, like you just described it, the frame we see the world through, you see the bigger picture and you realize that what you thought was the truth of like everything was actually only the truth that you kept telling yourself.
It's interesting because my mind is going down the path of, does this mean that what we should be thinking is, what beliefs do we want to choose so that we can set the frame of where we want to go? Where does that potentially conflict with what people just believe? So I guess I where you started out, right? If you didn't grow up around money, maybe you believe that it's going to be difficult for you to make money. And you believe that's true. So are you saying that maybe one of the first steps is to deconstruct what you believe and then choose where you believe, what you want to believe instead, and then make that your frame?
Yes. The first step would be looking at your, because asking yourself, there's a lot of the beliefs that you don't want to admit to yourself because they can get really painful.
Mm-hmm.
Such as, why do I think it's hard to make money? Because growing up, I lived in severe poverty and my entire family struggled and no one in my family was able to pay their rent on time. That's a very painful thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing you really have to do is look at your life, look at the results you're getting, the results in your relationship, the results in your health, the results in your bank account, the results in your education. Just look at what you're getting and then ask yourself, okay, what I'm getting is the result of what I'm doing. There's exceptions like medical conditions, but with stuff that's in your control, what I'm getting is the result of what I'm doing. What I'm doing has to be the result of what I believe. So what would I have to believe is true to keep getting this result? Now you figured out what you believe. And then you got to ask yourself, well, why do I believe that? And eventually you figure out, okay, well, where do I want to go? I want to make money. I want to have a wife and three kids. I want this. What did that person believe is true? They believe that, oh, there must be good people in the world, that it can't be impossible to make money. This is what this person believes. Mm-hmm. So you have to kind of reverse engineer their life into yours.
Okay. Help me make a distinction for the listeners and for me right now. What's the distinction between choosing a new frame of what you believe and implementing the habits to follow along in a kind of working within that new frame to get where you want to go? What is the difference as you see it between that and say like the law of attraction and any of like the sort of new age metaphysical, you know, what we think we become sort of thing? Because what I'm hearing in your way of approaching it is a little bit more of a tangible tactical kind of like, if we're more likely to exist within our frame, then if we choose our frame, we will change the behaviors that we have and have a higher likelihood of getting there. So where is the line for you between what is sort of like a supernatural, the universe aligns to my needs versus I'm making rational choices to shift my behavior?
Well, the difference between what I'm describing and the law of attraction, how most people online are describing it, is what they're saying is, if you just say I'm a millionaire 100 times in a mirror, somehow you're going to get a check in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work. Now, instead, you're using a structured format of, if I think like the person who can achieve this goal, I do the habits of that person, I start to believe like that person, then the mathematical odds that I become that is in my favor. It's not just wishing on a star, it's actually math.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you do the right thing, think the way you want to think, believe the way that this person believes, then the result of A plus B is C.
Mm-hmm. Got it. So it's sort of like, you know, you want to become you want to get better at hitting a baseball. You got to get into the batter's box. And
yeah.
When you're in there, it helps if you believe you can actually hit that ball rather than being scared of it the whole time.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. It's sort of like a bit of a, you know, you just have to get enough at bats in there with the right mindset. But tell me about, you know, shifting from kind of conceptual to what it actually feels like. Talk to me about when this superpower takes place, right? So you've, even using maybe yourself as an example or a story of yourself or someone that you've coached or seen, when your beliefs change and your habits change, what does that feel like at the different stages? Maybe first early on, when it starts to become a little bit more normalized, and when it starts to become second nature, maybe. What does that really feel like when you actually start to leverage this superpower? How's it feel?
At the start, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to have this like rush of excitement of, wait, that might be possible. Like you start kind of, you feel delusional at first.
Mm-hmm.
Because if right now you're at level zero and you start thinking about level 100, you're in delusion. That's kind of delusional. But then you're like, okay, well, this could be possible. And you start taking a little bit of action. And you face some resistance. Now, the irony is that in the process of getting better, things start to feel worse. Because now you've gotten out the comfort zone, and you're in this wilderness where you have to face the beliefs that are holding you back. And there's going to be the temptation to go back to it, because it's your default pattern. It's what's most normal to you. So now you're somewhere where everything's unfamiliar. You don't know what you're doing because you've never done this. You have to basically get rid of who you were in order to become who you decide to be, especially with big things. If the belief is something really small and minor, it won't be that painful, but there's going to be a period where things dip and they feel a lot worse. And then everything gets stagnant and you're in this void where you're too far from who you've been, but you're not where you want to be yet. And it just feels like nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And most people go back at this point because nothing's happening.
Mm-hmm.
But actually it is. Everything's building under the surface. And if you just stick with it long enough, it might take months, it might even take years, but if you stick with it, your life genuinely transforms and your baseline normal is higher than your previous euphoria. So using a story from my life, when I was 13, I was like chronically depressed, like genuinely couldn't get out of bed and everything just felt miserable. And with following this process, it got a tiny bit better. And then I had to confront the things of like growing up, getting bullied and childhood abuse and all these like really tough things that caused me to believe that I was worthless. Then, by confronting all of that, you know, it got dark because you have to really dig into it. You can't run from it. You have to run at it. Then you get past it and you're just in this void. And it was like, I don't feel bad, but I don't feel good. And I was there for maybe about 4 to 5 months-ish before I start seeing a little bit of progress. But the great thing is that beliefs are a self-fulfilling prophecy. Once you start to believe something and you start having emotions about that belief and you start taking actions and getting results, because you began believing, it's possible a little bit, you took action that led to a result. And that result said, yeah, this is possible. Like, you made your first dollar. And then you believe it a little bit more. And you get this compound effect where in a year or 2 years or 3 years, you'll look back and you will not know how you made that much progress. But the answer is because you believed a little bit and then a little bit more. And then you think that you can achieve anything eventually.
And you change your habits along the way.
Yeah.
So in the experience that you had, and in the experiences, and we didn't go over this in the beginning, but you're a professional keynote speaker. So you actually teach audiences about how to change their mindset and how to implement new behaviors and habits so that they can get where they're trying to go. And so in this work that you've done on yourself and the work that you do with others, when you look at the myriad of ways that people begin to shift into this new belief, do you think that it's more logical and rational or more emotional, or is it a blend of both? Because as I'm hearing you speak about this, I'm reflecting on my own experiences of times where I've shifted belief. And I find that in my experience, my beliefs often shift very rapidly, that I'm confronted with new information and it displaces the previous belief. And then I am kind of like, it's almost like shifting train tracks almost.
Yeah.
Rather than like gradually curving, it's more like new track going a completely different direction. Yeah. So I'm curious, in your process of, if we were going to teach this superpower to someone, would you advise that people look at the current frames of belief in a rational, critical lens of trying to take it apart and see if it is even true so that they can think something new? Or is it the sort of thing where maybe they have to confront the emotional response to it and overcome that piece of it? I'd imagine it's a bit of both, but kind of what's your take on it?
It's a mix of both, but the main, like the bulk of it is going to be emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we really are honest about it, most of our beliefs don't logically make sense.
Mm-hmm.
At the concept of all 4 billion of the opposing gender being terrible does not make logical sense. That mm-hmm. belief makes zero sense if you look at it logically. But on an emotional level, people say, well, when I was 15, I got cheated on and my heart got broken and I was crying in bed for 3 weeks and all of these emotions, that's the fuel of your belief. So you kind of have to look at the belief on like a logical level on the surface of, is this undeniably, factually, by the laws of the universe, is this true?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not a law of the universe. Okay, so all of the evidence is just emotions. Now, you have to have an experience that starts to override those old emotions, such as if you had someone, I'm trying to think of a great example of this.
Well, in that, I would imagine you have a good date and you're like, well, maybe it's not so bad, right? So, like, you have the experience and the emotional feeling of something that runs counter to what you were feeling. I'd imagine that's kind of one of those things. Would that then lend itself to the idea that if you want to shift your belief, part of the thing you have to do is actually go out and try to experience an alternative?
Yes, that's a requirement of it, because you can only perceive, well, you can only believe what you have experienced in some way.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing, though, and I'm so glad we brought that up because this just reminded me of it. your brain cannot tell the difference between imagination and reality. So if you imagine in vivid detail, what's your favorite food?
My favorite food? Probably if I, like, you know, if I had to pick one thing, probably pizza or peanut butter. Those are my two favorites.
Is it like a specific type of pizza?
I mean, I'm from New York, so like pizza is just life. But I mean, I've been really into pepperoni pizza lately. I spent almost 40 years not eating it, but now I'm just like obsessed with it.
Like if you imagine in vivid detail eating pepperoni pizza, it is fresh out of a Little Caesar's box. You smell the steam, the oil, the taste, the crunch, the crust. You like imagine it in vivid detail. You can actually taste it inside of your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you wanted to change a belief and you're like, okay, Lawrence, I get the point, but how do I get experience of something that I don't have access to? Like, I don't have that number in my bank account. I don't have that romantic partner. And I'm having a lot of trouble finding ways of getting that. Well, the great thing is we have YouTube. We have music. We have all types of podcasts and whatnot. And by mentally exposing yourself to something different and allowing yourself to feel those emotions, it's like a micro drop in the bucket. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing, though, is going to be when you yourself have a strong experience, like selling your first product online and somebody actually bought it. You're like, wait, I did that. Like, I heard these people online say it, but I actually did that. And those emotions, there comes a point where the old beliefs, emotions are going to say, no, but that's not true because look at all this stuff from the past. And it's going to try and trick you into going back. But you have to be aware that the old does not exist anymore. Like the past only exists in your head.
Mm-hmm.
All you have is right now. So you have to kind of override the past beliefs by soaking in emotions of, wait, this is possible. Not just possible for other people, but I could actually do it. And eventually, you start to really believe it. And to other people, it will look delusional. Like when I first had the idea at 15 to become a public speaker, my family thought I was genuinely delusional. Like they thought I was out of my mind because logically I was. Logically, making YouTube videos on your iPhone in parks, that's not a career, logically. But I had the belief that I could figure this out. Mm-hmm. Even though I did not have everything figured out, I at least believed on some level this could work. And then little by little, I believed it more, 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 more. And now I have an office in Center City, all because I believed it.
Mm. I also like, you know, my, again, mapping my own experiences with myself and others on this is that I think also one of the things that is a unexpected byproduct of this is if you believe in it and you take the actions toward it, sometimes what happens is you may not get where you were trying to go, but along the way of being in pursuit of the thing you wanted, something else comes in and it leads you down that correct path. So you're being a more active participant in where you are taking your life by making these choices. I want to repeat back some things that I heard here because I'm going to use them at the end when I try to summarize this superpower. But I heard that introducing yourself to new experiences that generate an emotion and then really allowing yourself to focus on them as a way of interrupting the pattern of that past emotional response to things seems like that's a really one of the two really smart starting points. And the second is logical deconstruction of it because that creates some of the breathing room for you to potentially introduce a new frame to pursue. So I wanted to just say that so that I can come back to it later. I want to ask you the superhero question, or I guess the superpowered individual question. So I break it down like this. There are really three origins of superpowers as I see it. There's the Superman version. You are born with it. You are from a far off planet and you come to a new one with a yellow sun and you just have these abilities, right? One type of superpower. You're just born with it. You've got it. Second one, something happens to you, some tragic event often, or traumatic event, or just some big event that's life altering. And your life is never the same after that. So, you know, you mentioned, you know, several times the person who's like, oh, all men are trash or all women are trash. And it's like, you had an experience and then that shapes the belief that you have. And obviously it can go the other direction as well, where it becomes more of an opening rather than closing things off. So the second is something happens to you and it changes you. And the third is the Batman sort of situation, which is you train. You have an idea of what it is you want. You single-mindedly focus, pursue it, and you train. When you look at the process of developing the capacity to change your beliefs and to implement new habits in pursuit of changing your world to be where you, like what you want out of it, every superpower is a bit of all three, but do you think that there's one that maybe stands out above the rest? Is it more a product of training? Is it more a product of like, these opportunities where something happens to you, where you get to have a shift? Is it more of a, like some people are just going to have it and some don't? Where do you kind of fall in the continuum of, you know, it's going to be a little bit of all three, but does anything like really stand out for you in terms of if you're going to have the capacity to do this, if you're going to, you know, take this superpower for yourself, which do you kind of think it is above all?
It would most definitely be number three, where you can train it, because like on a fundamental level, everyone has beliefs about something. And your belief is just, you're born, something happens, something else happens, and over time, there's a stacking of events that cause you to believe something. And now you carry that belief throughout life. So you're born, you get your first relationship, they cheat on you, you feel upset about it, you have other relationships, some of them are good, some are bad, some of them cheat on you. So now you start thinking that people will cheat on me. And then you believe that because, you know, your brain cannot, it would be very challenging for your brain to remember every single thing that ever happened in your life. So it creates beliefs as like a bucket, you know, like a shortcut in your brain of if X, then Y. And everyone has this. Like it's, we evolved it so that we remember, don't eat the poison berries.
It's pattern seeking, basically. It's patterns then become sort of rules. And those rules are kind of the beliefs of sorts.
And those rules you play your life by.
Got it. And so that then becomes the sort of thing that you train. So obviously the other two apply, but if we're looking at the process of training yourself to be more deliberate with what your beliefs are, deconstructing them, choosing new ones, building habits and patterns around it, thinking about starting from scratch, looking at your experience, how does one learn to do this? Like what is the process that one begins with to learn first and foremost about this? Like, What are the steps? What are the things to look for? Things like that. And then related to that, what's kind of the associated mindset that has to come along with this so that you don't fall into some pitfalls or traps where maybe you undo the progress you've made? You mentioned how hard it is in that middle phase after you, the initial hump of excitement, where it's easy to slide back. So I'm wondering, between the process of learning how to do these things and then also the mindset to continue it, how do you advise people to think about this?
I would say the first thing with noticing everything and the structure, because starting from the very beginning, the first step is understanding, where are you? You know, just look around at your life. You know, don't judge yourself, because the natural thing that people tend to do, and I did this a lot, was you look at your life and you start judging and saying, oh, well, I don't have this and my life sucks and this thing happened and that thing happened. No, don't judge it. Just become aware of it. This is, my room is dirty. Just a statement. It's not a judgment. It is what it is. This is how my health is. This is my relationship. This is my money. You're aware of it. And then you ask yourself, well, what do I want? Okay, well, I want to be in a happy relationship. okay, so now that I know where I am and I know where I want to be, who do I need to become? And, you know, sticking on theme with superheroes, because it's a perfect analogy for it, you kind of have to create a character of who you're becoming. And you want to focus on keeping your eye on that character. Because throughout this whole process, you're going to feel those emotions and those fears and those doubts. And it gets, the fear gets really strong right before it starts working. Which is why one of the things I tell people to often do is journal. You know, get a journal. You have to get your thoughts out of your head. Because most of those thoughts are not your own. If you pay attention to what you think and you ask, well, why do I even think that? It's probably something that your family said to you growing up or something you heard on TV as a kid. So you become aware that not all of your thoughts are your own. So most of those doubts and fears that come up as you're making progress, that's just the old programming. And as you start moving forward, you get stronger at handling it, but the programming gets louder until it gets quiet. And in that void, there's nothing there. And you have to fill it with the future version of you and bring that into now.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm just making notes over here. That's why you see me over here typing.
I understand.
There's a lot there. Okay. So let me repeat back to you kind of pieces of this. Okay. So you've got the kind of like assess where you are, don't judge it, kind of just take it what it is. Think, where do you want to go? And then you have to kind of ask yourself, who do you want to be to get there? And then you have to confront all of the things that are going to be in your way as you interrupt this old pattern and you make these changes. Yeah. And so those are some of the things we previously discussed. And when those things come up, there's a step of sort of like, well, where did this come from? And that's analyzing it from both, I think, a logical and an emotional standpoint of what is it that's causing this? And do I still need this? Or can I discard this on my way to where I'm trying to go?
Yeah.
Sorry. And so saying that, as I'm like trying to recap what I'm hearing from you, it sounds much easier than I know that it is. And so the part about sliding back in and those voices getting louder and giving up or quitting on where you're trying to go. And then let's not even get into, but it's obviously a factor, all of these systemic challenges that are out there that you have no control over, but maybe obstacles that you can't just mindset your way through. There are all of these different things. What would you say is sort of when you like really go to the core of what allows you to push forward or to believe in this method, in this superpower to change people's life? What is that thing in there that is, I guess, the core belief behind these beliefs and habit changes to change your world that allows you to push through that gulf, that like that void, I think, as you called it before? Well, how do you push through that when it's a recurring pattern?
For some people, it's going to look a bit different, but you have to have like this belief in a power outside of you. So a lot of the methods I teach, I was never like in Alcoholics Anonymous or anything like that, thankfully. But a lot of the things that they taught, I learned that and then adapted it. Mm-hmm. Like the belief, one of the first things is you have to believe in a higher power of some sort. Mm-hmm. And it can be anything. It could be a religion. It could be spirituality. It could be your higher self. It could even be aliens, if that's what you want to go with. Mm-hmm. You have to believe in something outside of you that is stronger than you and can help you. And you accept the fact that it does not need to make sense to you. Like, logically, it does not need to make sense. You just have to believe that there is some way, somehow, outside of you that is going to help you. And then you start to shift towards believing that you can do something. And when you feel like you can't do anything, you got a higher power there to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why that's so important is because all of your beliefs are going to fight against you. And they're not, I know I make it sound like they're trying to hold you back, but what they're really just trying to do is keep you safe based on what's familiar.
Yep.
Because your brain's job is to keep you from dying.
Yes.
And it sees it as, yeah, this might feel bad, but it hasn't killed us, so let's keep doing this. And when you start leaving that, even though you know it's good for you to leave it, your brain thinks that we're going to die because this is unfamiliar.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when people start slipping back into things like addictions that they know are bad for them, but it's a combination of what your habits are, what your beliefs are, trying to feel good that caused you to go back. And you have to believe that somehow, some way, it's possible for you. Even if it doesn't make sense. Even if right now you think, there's no way I could get a happy relationship. There's no way that I could become the first millionaire in my family. You just have to believe that despite all logic, it's kind of, you need a little bit of delusion.
Yeah.
Explain it.
I love this. And so I want to actually talk to you now about habits and like self-talk for a bit, because so I feel like I have a really good model that I've captured from you about the belief side of it. And I like that what I just picked up from you also really nicely dovetails into habits. And I want to also, in addition to habits, I want to talk a little bit about what that sounds like in your head, because that you, we've talked a lot about like those kind of like voices that are there to keep you safe. What is the intervention to quiet those voices? What are the things you say to yourself instead, or how do you keep yourself moving in that direction? So take me now through, okay, let's assume that we've done the work and we've deconstructed things. We've thought about where we are. We thought about where we want to go. We've got a new belief in place and we want to pursue it and we're ready for it. We believe that it's possible. We've got something bigger than us that we're fighting for. Got it. Now we have to take action. We got to do something. Right. And so on the one hand, there's habits, there's like the stuff that you do, but there's also, I'd imagine, some sort of like mindset, emotional habits that you have to put into place to constantly kind of take care of this new belief so it doesn't backslide. Talk to me a little bit about when you brought habits into this conversation, where is that?
So the habits that we do, those are a result of beliefs, but they also create them. Because someone who believes that fitness is very important to me, they believe that. So as a result of, I believe that my health is very important to me, and you deeply believe this. You don't just say it, you truly believe it. You're going to find yourself going to the gym more often than the average person because you believe this is very important to me. Mm-hmm. And because you now have a habit of going to the gym very often, you start to believe it's more important and it feeds in on itself and just spirals you up, because what you do, you keep getting results. Those results create experiences that tell you something about reality and about yourself. And over time, this loop strengthens your beliefs. Now, if that's a habit that we can like obviously see, someone's going somewhere, they're doing something. But then we have micro habits, such as the way we talk to ourselves. Every time when you fail a math test, for example, you say, man, I'm a failure. And anything you put after I am is a vote for a belief about yourself. So by figuring out, well, how do I talk to myself? You'll start to notice that, wait, my life is a reflection of how I'm talking to myself. Then you take that and you intentionally, again, at first, it's going to feel delusional, and you know it will feel delusional. But you have to start saying that, no, I'm the kind of person who is capable of doing this. And you have to deliberately take an action that proves it, such as reading a book. I'm the kind of person with a good, with a improved attention span. And every day I'm getting better. And eventually you start doing the thing and getting a reward, and your brain associates that reward with doing a habit that's strengthening the belief that you want, and they start to build each other up so that now not only do you start believing you're that kind of person, but you start acting like that kind of person, getting the results that kind of person would get, and it strengthens the belief you're that kind of person. So you start doing it more, getting more. And at first, it's like a compound interest. Mm-hmm. Nothing happens for a little happens for a long time. And then it shoots up. But like you mentioned earlier, some people switch like train tracks, mm-hmm. where you can believe something for your entire life and then switch. Now, when it's something that's deeply held, such as people's beliefs about relationships, their beliefs about money, their beliefs about the economy or politics or anything they have really strong emotions with, they will defend that tooth and nail.
And also, I would imagine things that they have community with. So, like, yes. It's much harder when you have social bonds, like, say, you know, I think religion's a good example here. If you have a very strong, deep conviction in a particular faith and you have a community around that, and then your faith starts to waver, you're still a part of that community. So you're then no longer divorcing yourself from the idea or the belief. You're also potentially divorcing yourself from that community in some way and that connection with others. And so I'd imagine you could also use that same sort of thing to turn it on its head by using the power of community and social connectedness as a way of actually moving yourself towards something. You brought up fitness before. If somebody's like, I'm not a fit person, but then they find themselves in a community of people doing CrossFit or running or playing basketball, they might start to find themselves going more often, not just for the fitness, but also for the community. And there starts to be a give and take there as well. So there's a commitment piece, I think, whether it be social or whether it be to the bigger cause or whatever it is, that I think is a critical component of this, that the beliefs need to be rooted in something.
Yeah. The part that gets challenging too, like you mentioned, sometimes when you're changing your beliefs, it will require you to change actual things in your life, such as the people you're around. Mm-hmm. You know, going back to addiction, that's why if you're trying to quit drinking, but all your friends love going to bars, you can't be friends with them.
Yeah.
You'll think that, no, I can be around people who do the thing I'm trying to stop doing, and it won't affect me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's exceptions, but it's better to believe that you're not the exception to that.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're around slowly but surely influences you. And before you know it, you go back to it. And when you go back to it, it's worse, because now your brain goes, yeah, see, I told you we were this kind of person. Why do you keep trying to leave?
Mm-hmm. So, and I'd imagine there's a lot to do with when in the sequence you make different choices, right? So like, maybe you don't need to not be friends with those people forever, but as you're trying to institute a behavior change, it's probably important for you to make a pretty big change at that point about who you hang out with and where you hang out with them. And then later, when you have a deeper rootedness in your new behaviors and habits and beliefs, it doesn't become as much of a problem. Whereas in the beginning, you're still in that zone where you're more vulnerable to sliding backwards. I've heard a lot of things from you here today, and I think I've been able to assemble, as I've been doing scribbling in my notes over here, a couple different things together. I also want to just point out something that you brought up in like the last few minutes that we've been talking, that I really like, because it aligns with something that I actually do every year. I did a webinar in the Superhero Institute about this. I think I called it Better Than Resolutions. But what I do is at the beginning of every year, I do an exercise called My Three Words, where I pick three words for the year, and those become my themes for the year. And in the science of behavior change, there's kind of like two competing theories that really are unified in the sense that they're kind of cyclical, which is that we believe about ourselves the things that we do, but if we change the things we do, we change what we believe about ourselves. So there's this sort of like cyclical relationship between are we who we are based on our behaviors, or do we change our behaviors based on who we think we are? And it's like, it's a little bit of both, right? Yeah. And so what I do is this beginning of the year thing where I do my three words, where I kind of set these individual words that become my themes for the year. And that's what I focus on, is these three simple words, and I focus on them all year. And at the end of the year, I do a retrospective where I look back and I say, well, how did I do? You know, what worked, what didn't work, et cetera. And what do I want to maybe change for next year? What do I want to keep, et cetera? So I just really appreciate that, because I think it's a really good point that it's not as simple as like, I just change what I believe about myself, my actions change. And it's also not as simple as I change my actions and I change who I become. It is a bit of an ongoing interplay between those two things that slowly over time gradually change who we believe ourselves to be. So I think it's a really great model. Yeah. I want to tell you what I heard from you today as far as breaking down and distilling your superpower. And I want you to tell me if I've missed anything that's critical to it, or if we're getting closer to giving people an ability that they themselves can steal.
Okay.
Sound good? Okay. Yep. Here's what I got. When we think about changing our direction in life, any part of it, one of the first things we have to do is probably level set and start by just looking around at what is, taking stock of it, not judging it, but just kind of getting a lay of the land. Where are we currently? And then we think, what do we want to do? Where do we want to go? What's next? Like, what's the direction, the end goal that we're in pursuit of? Then once we have that, we have to think about, well, who do I need to become in order to reach whatever that goal is? And that may cause us to come face to face with some things that we believe about ourselves, who we are versus who we need to be. And there's a tension there. In looking at that tension, there's a couple different things that we have to do. One, I'd say there's two approaches we talked about. One is to deconstruct it logically, which I think me inserting myself into this, I think that may be the first step, because I think it leaves air and opening for the second. But the first is to logically look at whatever that belief is about ourselves and say, is that actually true, unequivocally true? Either what we believe about the world or ourselves, is that true? And that then creates a little bit of opening. If we can see that maybe it's not 100% entirely always true, that maybe there's an opportunity for us to change, in which case we then need to introduce ourselves to an emotional experience, an experience that is counter to what we've had in the past. And we need to hold on to whatever that might be. So that's exposing ourselves to a pattern that interrupts our previous pattern. So we have this logical look at it that says, you know, maybe it's not always that. And then we have an emotional experience of it that says, I've now felt something different. That then leads us to a place where we can then choose to try on a new belief. And it has to be something we can absolutely, truly believe is possible, which I think is the segue into the habits piece for that virtuous cycle, which is from the science of habits. We know that for habits to stick, they have to be something that is attainable. It has to be something we can do, right? And in BJ Fogg's book, Tiny Habits, his formula is BMAP. So behavior equals motivation times ability times prompt, right? And so the motivation comes and goes, but the ability is take the habit and make it smaller, right? So maybe it's not, I'm going to be a millionaire tomorrow, but maybe it's, I'm going to be more profitable next month. And then I'm going to be more profitable the month after that. And we set goals and targets that are small enough that they're reachable, so we can start to feel that belief. I think it's very similar to the pattern interruption stage of we give ourselves an experience that was reachable so that we can start to believe something new. And over time, to your point, those beliefs slowly become easier for us to accept, and it slowly changes who we become. Sometimes we have to pull ourselves away from other things and change our surroundings to live into it. The key that keeps us going, what I heard from you, I'm going to use my word for this, but I think I'm getting at the same idea that you said about believing in something bigger, is thinking of a purpose, thinking of a big, grand something that you care about more than your own safety, is the thing I would probably say, because if our brains are there to keep us safe, We have to decenter ourselves and find something we care about more than we care about our own safety. And if we can put that there and we can keep moving towards that thing that's more important than we in our form are, then we can give ourselves new experiences, interrupt that pattern, logically deconstruct the barriers we've had, and start to believe something new and move towards, through our actions, where we're trying to go. And it's a reinforcing cycle of what we believe becomes our behaviors and actions. And as we do those, we start to believe it more and more. That's what I got out of what you said in terms of like, how does the superpower work? What did I miss?
That nailed it.
Yeah.
When I try to explain this, there's so many moving parts because, you know, when people start implementing that, even though they've heard it, even though now they conceptually know, the resistance you're going to feel is going to be things that you did not even remember you went through. Mm-hmm. Like, you're going to be sitting there going like, you know, I have to let go of this habit and this thing I've been doing my whole life in order to become that version of me. Like I have to find a reason so much bigger than me than I just want to make money and I just want to look cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like there's, I'm sure you probably read this book, Man's Search for Meaning, where,
Viktor Frankl, right?
Yeah. Where he says that a man with a strong enough why can bear any how. You know, when you think about people who immigrate from war zones, their why isn't just their survival. It's also, I want the well-being of my children. I want to be able to protect my country if they go off to war. I want to make sure that my children have a roof over their head. These are reasons so big that even when all that doubt and all that resistance and all that fear comes up, they have something to push for. They have a hope that even if it's borderline impossible, it's still possible. And they keep their eye on it. And now, even just a simple, regular day for them is so incredible compared to where they once were because they believed I could. And then they took an action and then they got a result. And then, you know, they got their like asylum visa. And then they're like, wait, I really believe this is possible. And then they got their plane ticket. And then they believe, wow, I've made it on the soil. And then they learned the language. And then they were able to get an ID. And I'm just using that example because you can see strong emotional rewiring, tangible things that happened, and proof that is undeniable that I can. But it started with somewhere, somehow out there, it's possible for me.
And I love it because it's so easy for us to identify so deeply with our own identities in the sense that we have a hard time disconnecting that belief about who we are from what it is that we're capable of, even if we've not experienced it. And the examples you gave were like, you have to actually choose something big enough and important enough that you're willing to say, I don't care what I've always believed about my identity in the past. This is more important. And so I have no choice but to believe that this is possible, right? To push yourself towards that better thing. So I really like this model that you've laid out here. And I think that it's step-by-step enough, simple enough that anybody can really take the first steps in it. It's something that I'm sure you would agree would take years to master, especially at scale of like changing lots of behaviors and beliefs. But I think at the start, looking for something small enough that you believe that's in your way and finding something that's worth changing and going through this process so that you can start to make those changes. I can see how that changes your world and how the ripple effects of that, would actually extend out to others because they see that you've done something that you may not have believed in prior, but now they see that it's possible.
Yes. And it doesn't even have to be some like massive life-changing belief. Like escaping a war zone. It could be as simple as believing that I can go from an F minus to a C plus. It could be that simple.
Yeah.
Or it could be as simple as I believe that my mental health can get better and I'll be able to not panic when I go outside.
Yep. Well, Lawrence, this has been absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much for coming onto the show. Let people know where they can go and find out more about you. I'll put it in the show notes so that they can come and find you. Let them know, you know, what you do, where to find you, all that sort of good stuff.
Yep. My social media, so Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok are all Lawrence C. Empowers. I put out a lot of content that can help you to improve your beliefs, confidence, self-worth, all that good stuff.
Excellent. Excellent. We'll put that all in the show notes. Thank you for coming onto the show and sharing your superpower and letting me deconstruct it and really break it down so others can steal it. And I know given the type of work you do, you're probably hoping as many people steal this as possible.
Yeah, so I do.
Thank you so much for coming on for it. And for those of you out there listening or watching, really appreciate you. Come back for the next episode of Rogue. We're going to talk to more superheroes who have superpowers and you can steal them for your very self. And you can get access to all of the breakdowns of every single one of these superpowers. If you join the Superhero Institute, we have something called the Rogue Gallery. Every superpower is broken down into a PDF that you can download and learn for yourself. So come back for the next one. This has been Lawrence Harris. I've been Jeff Gibbard. See you on the next one.